This morning, as we work through our second week of our new sermon series on Be Loved, I want to share with you a passage from the Gospel of Luke that comes from the 15th chapter. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And these are two stories where Jesus shows his disciples a reason to celebrate. The first story is here. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. Suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he is thrilled and places it on his shoulders. When he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Come, celebrate with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their heart and lives. In the second example, or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house and searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Come, celebrate with me because I've found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life. May the Holy Spirit add a blessing to this reading from the Gospel. So I've been excited for a long time to preach this sermon series, and particularly the one around Be Loved. Because if there is any truth, any core belief, any inherent gospel that I believe, it is that God loves all people in all places, no matter what. That God's love is always reaching out to us, always surrounding us, and that God is walking with us so that we can experience that love each and every day. One of the places where I experience God's love in the most intimate way is through my son, Michael Julian. He'll be 4 at this time next month, and he is a little bundle of sermon illustrations, I have to tell you. He has been since the day he arrived on October 15th. And I want to tell you about the song that Maddie sang for us this morning so beautifully. It's a special song to me. My son was born on October 15th at 3:43 a.m. He's an early bird. He always has been. I labored through the night, like many women do, without sleep. And then spent the next 14 hours in a hospital room that had what felt like a rotating door. There was always somebody coming in for something, right? If you've ever been a patient in a hospital bed, you know that experience. If it's not the doctor or the nurse, it's the aide coming in to take your blood pressure. If it's not that person, it's someone to come in and bring new linens or fresh towels or more toilet paper. And if it's not them, it's the food that you've been waiting an hour or more for, right? There's always somebody coming in. There were countless interruptions within the hours after Michael's birth. And here I was laying in bed. This odd and wondrous mix of a deliriously happy mama who had a beautiful, healthy baby in her arms and a stressed out, totally overwhelmed, hormonally crying mess who desperately needed a shower. I was all of those things all at the same time. One of the irrational fears I had on Michael's birthday was that I didn't know enough lullabies. It was irrational, but it was a little bit rational because here's this squirmy, uncomfortable, raptor-like baby making these noises, letting me know that he had a need and I had to figure out what that need was, and hopefully quickly because I was trying to get some rest, and other people on the maternity ward were trying to do the same thing, right? And so instinctually, I thought, I should sing him a song. This is a mother's job, to sing her baby a song. I didn't know that many songs. I didn't know that many songs that could be considered a lullaby, and I wasn't confident in my voice as a choir angel to sing these songs and keep my little raptor baby calm and comforted. I spent the first few hours whispering quiet nothings to Michael and passing him back and forth to Daddy, who still had the energy to bounce and stroll and do all the things that daddies do while mommies are recovering. But by the time my breakfast arrived, the most delicious eggs and bacon and pancakes you had ever tasted, I was at my wit's end. So as the cafeteria aide came in with this tray of lukewarm food, I started asking her, I said, do you know any lullabies? Because I'm desperate over here. She was a mom, and she understood the feeling, and so we got to talking, and she showed me pictures of her kids and what she liked to sing. And then she asked me if I knew this song by the Dixie Chicks called Lullaby. I said I didn't, so she pulled out her iPhone, and we looked it up on YouTube, and she played it for me. Right then and there, and all the exhaustion, all the hormones hit like a tidal wave once more as I held sweet Michael in my arms and listened to that chorus. How long do you want to be loved? Is forever enough? Is forever enough? How long do you want to be loved? Is forever enough? Because I'm never, never going to give you up. I share this story because I believe that the lyrics of that lullaby transcend the experience of parenthood and enter into the realm of God. That moment of singing that song to Michael and listening to those words play off my phone was holy, but so too is the holiness that I experience when I think about God singing that song to all of God's beloved, to each one of us. As God's beautiful creation, as God's picture-perfect dream. We believe in this amazing God of love. We believe that God's love knows no boundaries or exceptions or limits. We believe that God's love is steady and unchanging and unconditional. We believe that this love embraces all people everywhere, no matter what. We believe, just like God's presence with us is eternal, that it's never going to end, so too is the source from which this love flows. God's love is never going to end. It's never going to give us up. So in those moments, like the one I had in the hospital bed, where we're doubting our own sacred worth or feeling fearful of our inadequacies or questioning whether the mistakes we have made have caused irreparable damage, or whether God could still take us back, we hear these words again. How long do you want to be loved? Is forever enough? Is forever enough? How long do you want to be loved? Is forever enough? Because I'm never, never going to give you up. That last line, the one that I keep saying, echoes the message from the parables that we heard this morning from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus told his disciples, his followers, a story about two people who had lost something. One person a sheep and the other person a coin. Each person attempts to move heaven and earth to go and search for what they have lost. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes to search for the one he has lost. The woman who has lost her coin lights a lamp, turns her house upside down, sweeps the floor in order to find what she has lost. Then there's cause for celebration. There's a party that's thrown afterwards. He found the sheep, she found the coin. Let's celebrate. God helped make this happen. Jesus uses this story, both of them, to teach us something. that if and when we wander astray or turn down a path that does not lead to life, Jesus is never going to give up on us or turn away from us. His love is resilient. It can withstand anything. His love is unrelenting. It will always pursue us. There's nothing we can do to make God love us less. So today and every day, you can be sure that you will be loved by Jesus. Here at St. Paul's United Methodist Church and at the Open Door, there is no question about how much God loves us, each and every one of us, and how we are called to love others. It's the backbone and the tenet of our faith as United Methodists, that because God loves all people, so too do we. There are no boundaries, there are no exceptions, there are no limits. Wherever you are, whomever, wherever you come from, the answer is yes, and the welcome will be wide. Today and every day, you will be loved. It's because that we affirm our belovedness and recognize how the love of God has found us over and over again that we have experienced a change in our hearts and in our lives. We have been changed, we have been made new, we have been redeemed, we have been saved, we have been transformed. We can stand tall, confident and grateful, and move forward. Each one of us one step at a time, each one of us one day at a time, but always moving forward together as God's people. And wherever we go, whichever direction we go, we have a message to share and a gift to give to others. Now, I'm here to tell you that inside this church, you don't have to go far from Hickey Hall, from this room that we're in right now, to find someone from this congregation sharing God's gift of love. I tend to spend a considerable amount of time in this building, kind of paid to be here most days, and I can tell you that the love is alive. It's palpable. We can see it on Sunday mornings in the midst of the community of faith as we gather for worship. We see it through the week as Bible studies and small groups gather. We watch it come through our doors when preschoolers pour in with all of their energy and new light-up shoes and the enthusiasm that they bring. We watch it when school groups come into our sanctuary down the hall to perform concerts, or when neighbors become shoppers at our rummage sale. That's coming up, by the way. God's love absolutely overflows this space. The building cannot contain all of God's love and the message that we have to share. And that's why we see it flowing out into the city streets. God's love overflowed from this space last week as we donated non-perishable food to the Rochester Area Neighborhood Food Pantry. You all brought red grocery bags up to the stage, and we combined that with all the food that was returned at the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service in the sanctuary, and together we had 996 pounds of non-perishable food that's going to go straight from this building and onto the shelves at the food pantry to feed our hungry neighbors. Now, when you add to that the 285 pounds of fresh produce that our community garden has grown this summer, you've got a whole heap of food. You've got a bounty. You've got a feast that is going to nourish and sustain hungry families in our surrounding community. So when we say that you can be loved here, we also mean that you can be used here, that you can be fed, that you can be nourished, that you can be satisfied by God's love. Love overflowed from St. Paul's United Methodist Church when a group of 15 church members started lacing up their shoes a few weeks ago to train for the Brooksy Way race that's coming up on September 22nd. As they lace up their shoes and they log miles on the streets and on the treadmills, they're raising money for kids at Methodist Children's Home Society, that mission focus I mentioned earlier in the service. Each mile earns them a couple extra dollars from a generous sponsor, and all that money goes to support the animal-assisted therapy program that we're helping to start. I was at Methodist Children's Home Society a couple of weeks ago with the pastors of St. Paul's and all the church staff. We went down for a staff retreat day and had some meetings in the morning. And then after lunch, we took a tour of the campus and participated in a blessing of the animals at the farm, as they call it, where the goats and the pigs and the chickens live that we've helped them to get as part of their therapy program. The blessing of the animal service was a simple kind of thing that we could do to go and meet Coco and Kiki, the mama goat and her baby kid, and the pigs, Patches and Dolly, and the 9 different chickens. It was a way for us to see with our eyes what the $20,000 we've already raised is doing to help get this program up and started. But more than that, it was so much fun to see the vision we had last winter realized, at least in part. For the blessing of the animals, all the boys who live on campus, about 60 of them, came out of their cottages and joined us for a time of prayer. One boy in particular, we'll call him Casey, was first out of his cottage and first to arrive at the farm. And as he was arriving, the animal handler tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Do you see that young man?" "Yeah." "His name is Casey. He's been adopted by the mama goat. He's lived in several foster homes," she said, "and survived pain you can't even imagine. He's working his way through high school, one semester at a time. It's taking a few more extra semesters with a whole lot of support from teachers and from the staff here. But this farm has been an awesome pillar of support for him." The therapist went on to tell me that when Casey arrives, the mama goat, Coco, follows him from the fence line, from his cottage to the gate. She sits on her hind haunches and waits for him at the gate. And when Casey walks into the pen, she comes right over and watches him enter. She knows the sound of his voice and is ready to receive whatever affection he has to offer her that day. When Casey walked through the gate this morning, she absolutely swooned and nuzzled right in to the scratches he was giving her ears. And as he gently stroked her coat over and over and over from head to tail. The miracle of a program like the Animal Assisted Therapy Program at Methodist Children's Home Society is that as this boy, as this teenager, learns to build positive attachments with a mama goat and care for someone, something other than himself, his capacity for love, for empathy, for healthy, stable relationships is going to increase. There's already a sense of joy and pride building up in Casey. That's his goat. She's his responsibility. He knows her name and she knows him. Through something so simple as the gift of an animal, Casey is learning what it means to be loved again. Love is coming home in his life. Love is finding its rightful place once again. I know, and you know, that that love is from God, and that love will never let Casey go. How long do you want to be loved? Is forever enough? Is forever enough? How long do you want to be loved? Is forever enough? Because I'm never, never going to give you up. Just like the shepherd goes to search for the lost sheep, just like the woman moves heaven and earth to find her lost coin, God will be at work in your life. God will be pursuing you, unrelenting, graciously, day after day, so that you will know that God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. Will you pray with me? God, sometimes your love is overwhelming. Sometimes we think we have to earn it or work for it. Sometimes we think that we're not good enough to receive it. But today, oh God, we know that you love us just as we are. And so we take that love, we open ourselves up to receiving it as a gift. We internalize it in our lives, knowing that we belong to you and to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we are worthy. We are worthy to be here. We have a right to our place in your community and a right to share your story. Help us, O God, as we learn to accept the love that you have given us, to learn how to share it freely, just as you do, with no boundaries, no exceptions, no limits. Amen.